We're so grateful for your mercy and faithfulness that saw us through 2021 and brought us to the beginning of 2022. As we go into your word this morning, again, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. I pray in particular, Lord, for myself, for fresh unction and anointing from heaven upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. I further pray for the same unction and anointing to be upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray, as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great and insufficient measure to back and follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, amen. Well, this morning, we're going to continue our study in God's Word. We began 1 Corinthians last year, and today we're going to begin in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians for our Bible study. Now, I would like to reiterate a few comments we made about the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church is typical of most churches today, here in Nigeria, in America, everywhere. And it is typified by people who are genuinely born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, even have the gifts of the Spirit in their lives to some degree, and have the knowledge of God's Word also to some degree. But alas, alas, the Corinthian church was not a church that was growing up spiritually. Paul, we're going to see this later on, you know, describes them. He says, I could not speak unto, you know, as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, babies. You know, they have been born again for a long time, relatively, but they hadn't grown. And because they had all kinds of issues, strife, anger, envy, pride, all these things were hindering their development. And that's why this letter was written. It was written to address those problems and to instruct them as to what to do to overcome those infirmities that was hindering their growth. And I cannot find a book that is more apt for the church today. Every Christian today, particularly here in Nigeria and all over the world really, should take a study of 1 Corinthians chapter the whole of 1 Corinthians, you will find your number there. One issue or the other idea, it deals about marriage, it deals about sex, it deals about all the things that are hindering so many Christians today. And so, Paul, he starts in chapter 2. Remember, the Bible was not actually written in chapter and verse. This was done by the privilege of the at the discretion of the translators, who did a good job, incidentally, for reference purposes. And but I would like, for the purpose of this Bible study, to link up with what we did the last time in chapter 1. He said, but of Christ, Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom and knowledge and sanctification and redemption. And we went into detail about what I call, I've never heard anybody put it in that expression, you know, the ability of the mind of Christ. We're going to actually see this in chapter 2 here too. Paul literally tells us later on in chapter 2, you know, that we have the mind of Christ. Now, that's the mind of God. The manifestation of that divine wisdom has been something that the church has barely scratched the surface of, you know, or experienced over these last 2,000 years, from the early church. You don't find much emphasis of it in the early church. You know, in fact, if you study Acts of the Apostles, you don't even see anything like that. In the Acts of the Apostles, basically what you see is the birth of the church, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, healing, deliverance, raising of the dead, so that the gospel could go out, which is great. Don't misunderstand me. But there's an aspect of the gospel that is so critical, because the Bible tells us, you know, that in these end times, Jesus made unto us wisdom. When I was in Imperial College, it's one of the things that made me make the decisions I made. I was 21 years old, and I was at a crossroads. Do I stay in England and go on to America with my studies, or do I answer the call of God that I felt very strongly on my life? In a six-month period, looking back now, but the grace of God which was with me, you know, simply by obeying my spiritual fathers. At that time, I didn't even know what spiritual fathers was. I didn't know any of these things. I was just doing what was right. Kenneth Hagin, I heard him say, in this end time, if you want to really grow spiritually, make sure you pray 1 hour in tongues every day. So I started to do it. Then I heard him say, you know, he got revelation by praying the Pauline prayers for himself every day. You know, in fact, 2-3 times a day, that God give me, Kenneth Hagin, the spirit of wisdom. So I just copied him. So I pray myself, please give me, Olubi, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Then I heard him say, if you really want to grow, you know, make sure you meditate and practice 1 Corinthians chapter 13 every day. So I started doing it. No, you know, nobody told me to do it. I just heard it. Kenneth Hagin was not even there physically. I just heard it on a message, you know. In those days, we used to have tapes, you know. And so I had 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So every day I would say, you know, I endure long and I'm patient and kind, you know, and all of that. Little did I know, then there was a fourth thing I started doing, which again, I didn't know the spiritual implications of what I was doing, because it wasn't taught. I was taught about tithing. So I used to tithe to my local church. I was in London then, you know, with Pastor Porter and Miss Porter of blessed memory, all of whom are with the Lord now, you know. But I would take an offering, you know, and send to Kenneth Hagin. I used to do that regularly. Like once, it wasn't much, £5. And that would come to maybe about $7 or $8. But I did it by the grace and the mercy of God consistently. Little did I know that everything I was doing had significance and opened the heavens for me. I didn't know at the time. I just was just doing it. So within a 6 to 9 month period, you know, I got a lot of revelation. And one of them was this that I'm sharing with you. It was from Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 10. That God will make known unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places the manifold wisdom of God. I had an insight to that thing that, you know, said, this is not just talking about Bible. It's talking about Bible, all right. But there is a depth of, I wrote it, it's in if you check, I have an article, it's in our website. It's called Christ in Us, the Hope of Glory, or the Hope of Glory, I can't remember what I called it. You know, but it's on my website, you know, and it has Imperial College 1980 written there, because I wrote it all down at that time. So I preserved it over the years, and then when we got our website and all of that, I got them to type it and put it up. But the point I'm making is this. Little did I know, I said, this is something I am sure God wants, will reward us greatly for, and there is a depth, a mine of wealth here that has not been. I said that then. I didn't know, you know, the implication of what I was saying, the full implication. I knew the implication, but not the full implication. And I said this when I wrote that article. I said, this is what my life is all about. And that was what made me make the decision that, look, let me face this divine calling. Let me face it squarely and give it all my time and my attention. Because this other one I'm trying to get, you know, my degree and, you know, all of that is inside this one. If I do this one, I'm going to get all of that one back. I believed it. And then the other scripture the Holy Spirit gave me at the time was in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He gave me quite a lot of scriptures, but these are a few that are relevant to what I'm talking about now. And he said to me that, you know, godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That sealed it for me. In other words, I was not going to lose out. You know, because the question was, well, if you do this, you will lose this. And in fact, everybody was telling me, my uncles, people say, you just throw your life away. You know, you have nothing to show for it. You know, all these people are preaching. All, but I knew the word of God says, having the promise of the life that now is. So I knew that I was not going to lose out even in this life. And I also secure the life to come. Those were the two, you know, main scriptures. I just made my decision. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell anybody. Or when my professors had called me and said, look, you're a very brilliant fellow. But I used to preach to everybody. I was like a nuisance. And so they said, look, we want you to spend an extra year, you know, and do a few courses, a few more courses. Then I was already doing a project with British Telecom, you know, doing an antenna. That was all this mobile phone technology was at the cutting edge. That was around the time, you know, a lot of deep research was going on. And that was the area I was in because I was doing communication engineering. You know, but I said no. I said, you know, I have a personal thing. I didn't tell them it was calling of God. I just said I have personal reasons, and I will, you know, respectfully turn down the offer. You know, it was after I did that, and I told my parents, and all hell broke loose. But it was all right. After a while, they got it. But the point is this: that was the thing. Let's look at that scripture. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to come back here now in a minute. You know what? Before we go to Ephesians chapter 3, let me read the first 5 verses. And I think that's where I'm going to stop for this morning. You know, but I want to contextualize it and link it up with what we did in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's why I'm giving this intro, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we ended it with Christ is made unto us wisdom. And that is that point that has not been emphasized in the church, that we the wisdom of God is available to the church. When we think of wisdom, we always think of wisdom in terms of, you know, moral wisdom. Okay, don't steal, don't commit adultery. And you need wisdom for that too. You know, abstain from all appearance of evil. But that's not what he's talking about at all. That's not only what he's talking about. It includes that. But he's talking about that's much more awesome. It's more encompassing than just ordinary human wisdom to live a morally upright life. You know? And that was the insight I got. I got that insight through the experiences I told you. You know? And so, let's read this. And I, brethren, scream somebody, and. That means it's linked up with what he has been saying before. Hello? And. Remember, it's not in chapter and verse. The chapters and verse were inserted by the translators for reference purposes, and they did an excellent job. You know? But he said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not in the excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I just got a tweet from heaven, and it is this. When that wisdom, there's not about the wisdom of God, it's not about the wisdom of men. In other words, I did not come with the skills of an orator. I'm paraphrasing. I didn't come with the skills of an orator and a lot of human wisdom that will outstound you and make you listen to what I'm saying. You know, if you meet very erudite learned people, you know, they can wow you. I don't know the word to use. You know, they can impress you by the wisdom with which they speak and the logic that they present. Paul is saying, I didn't come with that. Even though Paul had it in the natural. He was a professor. He was a lawyer. But he said, I didn't come with that. I did not come with the excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him, what? Crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling because of all the, you know, satanic attacks that were coming against him during his missionary travels. And my speech and my preaching, oh, I didn't hear you folks, was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, what I was just saying earlier on, but in what? Demonstration. Everybody scream demonstration. Of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is Paul's testimony, and it has to be our own today. You see, what is going to convince people of the reality of what we're talking about is not the eloquence of our words, is not even the logic. It is the demonstration of the Spirit and of power that you cannot explain with the natural mind. That will tell you that this man is talking about spiritual realities that I cannot see with the physical eye. And so that your faith ultimately will not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Give Paul a clap offering. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm going to focus on this morning. But before I go there, I want to relate it to what I shared last week about Christ is made unto us wisdom. It's an aspect of Christianity that has not been acknowledged or developed. Most people don't think about Christianity affecting the mind and developing the intellect and the mind. But for it to make a difference, like Paul said, not in the wisdom of men but in the power of God, the development will be so spectacular that people will say, like I said last week, surely God is in thee, like it was in Solomon. You see, the wisdom that Solomon had was natural wisdom, but it was so superlative. It was so great that when men heard him, they recognized that it was God talking through this man. The Bible speaks of the, account of the Queen of Sheba, who came all the way from, you know, somewhere here in Africa. We don't know exactly where, Ethiopia, you know, presumably, you know. And the Bible says that she came with hard questions. And she thought, oh, he won't be able to answer this one. The Bible says there was nothing she asked that God did not reveal to Solomon. He said, when Solomon finished, said there was no more spirit in her. That's what the Bible will say. They will say, surely God is in thee. That aspect of the gospel giving us the wisdom of God and the ability of the mind of Christ has not been acknowledged, like I said, and has not been developed, because for two main reasons. You know, the main reason is because they don't have revelation of it. There was that was the insight I got as a young man. I just saw into it. There's something here that has not been tapped into. And I made up my mind that I was going to use the rest of my life to tap into it, because I knew that once I got it, the other thing I was putting aside temporarily in my studies, I would get all that back. And then God gave me other scriptures. In the light of this, I want us to now go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to look at it, first of all, in the King James. And I'm going to look at it in the Amplified, because when God revealed this thing to me, he used those two scriptures. In fact, that my article that I wrote back then, you know, as a young boy, as a young man, I quoted both. He said, to the intent Everybody scream it. Turn to your neighbor. Wait, Pastor G. Say, God has an intention. God, that's what I say, to the intent. God has an intention. Do you know that till today, that intention has not yet been fulfilled? Let's read it. To the intent that when we get to heaven, give the Apostle Paul another clap offering. You know, in the last few months, I've come to appreciate Paul more. I've always appreciated him. But I've come to appreciate Paul. Paul saw way ahead of his time. He was seeing things that other guys were not seeing. The other person who was kind of was also John, that Jesus gave him the book of Revelation. And they were able to see thousands of years ahead. What we need to understand is that in their own time, God just gave them the revelation, but then God revealed it to them that it was not going to be in their own lifetime. It was only then that Paul agreed to die. Yeah. It was when God revealed to him that it's not something you're going to be able to do in this life, in the time of your lifetime. Like I explained some time ago, you know, there are 3 days of the church. The first day was the day of revelation, bringing it down. The second day was the day of spreading it around, you know. Then the third day, which is the day where we was to experience or manifest the revelation, you know. So all that they could not do in Paul's time, it is our generation that is destined to do it. Give the Lord another clap offering. Now, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You know what manifold means? It means it's intricate, many-sided. Now let's look at it in the Amplified Bible. Oh! And now, the day I saw this thing, I danced inside my room. I was so excited. You know, but let me read it because I don't want to get off, you know, and lose my point. The purpose is, turn to anybody and say, God has a purpose. He has an intention. The purpose is that through the church, everybody say, through the church. Oh, scream it, somebody. It's not God who's going to do it. God is the one who has the wisdom. But he wants to do it through his people. Through the church. Ha! Glory to God. The complicated. I would say complicated. Just stop there. I got another tweet. I would say complicated. Scream it again. Say one more time. Do you know that the movement of the planets in the heavens is complicated? That's why when everybody wants to say something is not difficult, they'll say it's not rocket science. It means rocket science is complicated. The complicated. We have professors of medicine here, you know, that will tell you DNA is complicated. How do you say complicated? I didn't hear you. It's complicated. Quantum mechanics. It's complicated. Wale can testify. That's why he ran to engineering. He was supposed to have done physics. I've forgiven him, but I'm still chastening him over that. You know? It was a complicated. Complicated. See, God is a nice, simple person. But God has wisdom that is intricate. You can see it in creation. You know, you look at coronavirus. It's complicated. It's because of the level of knowledge of science that we have today that God in his mercy, I would say mercy, gave those scientists a breakthrough to get the vaccination that could stop that virus, that pandemic, by giving them insight into the structure, and then did not use the normal vaccination. When we had smallpox 200 years ago, or whenever it was, you know, they would take a small part of the smallpox, the virus, inject it into you, and your body will develop natural antibodies to be able to fight the disease. This one is a little bit different because it uses messenger RNA. It does not distort your RNA, but it gives a signal to your RNA so that the RNA can now tell the proteins in your body and the other things inside your body to create now the antibodies to fight the disease without you getting the disease. That's a complicated. I didn't hear you. Through the church, the complicated. You know, that's why the book of Proverbs tries to wean us from simplicity. You say, oh, simple one, when will you wake up? I'll be talking about that probably in my main message later on today. You know, so many Christians love simplicity. They don't want to even get to know the deeper things of God. Leave me here. Let me just be simple. And the Bible, you know, chastens, rebukes simplicity. That's the book of Proverbs. So, why stay simple? Simple just means, you know, not wise. Many people are like that on the earth today. And sadly, many born-again Christians who are supposed to be the vehicle through which this complicated wisdom will be revealed. Mercy, Lord. The complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety. And innumerable aspects might now be made known unto the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities, powers in the heavenly sphere. Give Paul another clap offering. You don't know what he has just said, but I will explain to you. You know, I told you this a few weeks ago. I've been teaching on this wisdom of God from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31, where it says, but Jesus made unto us wisdom. And you need to understand something that a lot of Christians don't understand. There's something that God wants to do here. It is similar to what God did through David when he defeated Goliath. David said that you come against me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the God of Israel, whose armies you have defied. This day I will take your head off you and feed your body and the body of your soldiers, you know, to the, that all the earth, everybody screaming, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's what God wants to do through this wisdom of God. Now, I told you something about Lucifer, and you need to understand this. Many Christians don't understand this. It's all this simplicity. His was the anointed, watch his titles. The anointed cherub that covereth, summing up the sum of wisdom. Satan knows DNA. Satan knows physics. Satan knows mathematics. He knows because he didn't know it by himself. God taught him. You know, he had that wisdom. That was why he was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was able to maintain the things of the earth through the many-sided, complicated wisdom that God gave him. And some of his lieutenants, some of the fallen angels who fell with him. So I was talking about last week, you know, the Nephilim. You know, look at coronavirus.
It's a spirit that did that thing. The outcome is physical that you can see under a microscope. You know, we've been having pandemic. We've never had anyone like that one. And you know, initially it would go straight for the lungs. So it was killing people like killing flies. Through prayer and intercession and the mercy and the grace of God, God quickly was able to give the solution to some of those guys in Oxford and people and brother, because normally it takes years to get a vaccination. Isn't that right? But all the other ones were not as lethal as this one. And so a quick work had to be done, and God did it in his mercy and in his kindness. But it took an intelligent spirit to go into the protein structures at the cellular, you know, molecular level to create a distortion, to create that thing. These principalities, they're not stupid, you know. But God said, I'm going to show you a wisdom that is greater than the one I gave you first. That is the purpose. I'm going to give to my church a greater wisdom than the one I gave you, Lucifer, and your principalities and powers when you said you sum up the sum of wisdom. I'm going to show you that there's a wisdom that is greater than the one I gave you. And I'm going to demonstrate it through my church. That's what this verse means. That he might show under the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. And you know what? The church has just been sleeping. The church does not even know that such a thing is even available or exists, or the purpose of God. This age will not end until there are a bunch of Christians, a company of Christians that's going to manifest the wisdom of God that will be superior to any wisdom that Satan has given his own people. You know, some of these scientists and all that, they got visions at night, visions of equations. You know, there was one particular guy in India, you know, he said he would wake up and there was this God that has six hands, you know, that would give him, you know, because the guy didn't go to, he didn't go to any formal school at first. Then he wrote these wonderful equations in mathematics. They had to invite him to Cambridge. This was in the early 1900s, you know, and the professor said, this guy is talking things that we are just trying to, you know, we're still struggling with. The guy didn't live long. That's the devil for you. He died at the age of, you know, I can't remember now, you know, 20-something, 30-something. Everybody was, you know, his equations are still being studied today. And I have nothing against that. But what I'm trying to say is that the source of it, if the devil can give his own people, how much more God? Let's give the Lord a clap offering. God wants to show under the principalities and powers in the heavenly places a wisdom, a complicated, many-sided, you know, wisdom of God in its infinite variety and innumerable aspects. He wants to show it. God wants to show off. And he wants to use his children to do it. To show that what I give my church is superior to what I gave to the angels when I created them and before Lucifer fell and as the anointed cherub, you know, that covered the earth. I'm going to say this, and let's get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now. You need to understand something about Lucifer that God has, by his grace and mercy, revealed to me in the last few years. It's not something I knew before. See, Lucifer's problem is pride. The wisdom that he has is God who gave him. The power that he has is God who gave him. And he was very efficient. He was very good. The Bible says he was perfect in all his ways. Till iniquity was found in him. And what is that iniquity? And everybody who is seeking for wisdom should open their ears as I talk now to be independent of the person that gave it to him. That's the problem. The original sin is not adultery, it's not fornication, it's not that, it is pride.
independence. You cannot be independent of the God who gave you the wisdom. And that's that, the whole contest that we're, all this fight we're fighting, this spiritual battle we're fighting, is Satan. He used to report to God before, because it was God who put him there. He said, I have set thee so. God, I'm the one who set you there. He said, the multitude of thy traffic. That's why the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the root of Satan. It is the thing that made Satan, Satan. He had money in terms of, let's just use the word, material resources. It was God who gave him. And he felt that he had enough now that he could run his own system without reference to God anymore, without reverence to God. And indeed, he was able to do it to some degree. But because he is not God, there was, turn to your neighbor and say, the devil is not God. Never has been, never will be. There is a limit to his power. And because there's a limit to his power, anything he tries to do, there is never sufficient power to sustain it. So you begin to find distortion and corruption. That's what is called death. He will do it to a certain degree because of the wisdom. And you know the thing about God is that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God did not remove that wisdom. But the power to use the wisdom properly is not sufficient. So the wisdom became corrupted. Are you listening to me? So God now said, all right, I'm going to raise my church through my son, Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to give them a wisdom that is superior to the wisdom that Lucifer originally had. And then I'm going to demonstrate it. The demonstration is that everybody will see it. And even the principalities and powers. And then they will fall on their face and say, yes, God is really God. And that we really missed it. Because they shouldn't have done what they did. They rebel against God. You know, but they did, you know. And even up till today, Lucifer knows he cannot defeat God. He's intelligent enough. I used to think about him as, how can somebody, you know, want to fight God? Lucifer is not interested in defeating God. He's interested in staying independent. God, you do your own, I do my own. And God said, no, I own everything. You let one rebel get away, then the others will follow him. That's the whole purpose. That is why unto me every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Are you listening to me? This thing I'm sharing with you is one of the most fundamental secrets of the spiritual battle we're involved in. What Satan wants is independence. Leave me alone. Leave my kingdom alone. Your kingdom, where did you get it from? Was it not me who gave it to you? Was it not me who created you? Was it not me who gave you the power? So there is nothing you have that is yours. I gave it to you. You want to try to be independent? Okay, let's see how far you can go. So that's why God, watch this. That's why God had to look for a legal basis. God could have just taken him the first day and thrown him in the fire. But if God did that, Satan will shout to all the other angels, you see, I told you. He's just a bully. Just because I didn't submit to him, he now wants to just, you know. So God set a trap for him. And watch this, his greed and his pride was what let him enter the thing. First of all, created Adam, entered the garden. God knew. And God put something there. Said, Adam, when he comes, you know, keep and guard the garden. You know, the guy comes, deceives them and all of that. And God said, the seed of the woman will bruise your head. Took thousands of years, but it was done. And it was done legally. There's another one we're doing now that is going to be legal. By the time we finish, he said that thou might be justified when thou art judged. Everybody will see how, and then God will have a legal basis to take him and his angels, those who followed him. Now that's where hell was created. It wasn't created for man. It was created for Satan and his angels, and incarcerate them in the lake of fire forever as an eternal lesson to all creation that you don't begin to even think about rebelling against God. Give the Lord a clap offering. Be very careful of independence. Wisdom and material resources many times makes you think you can be independent. You cannot be independent. No man is an island. No matter how much wisdom and power you have, you will still need people. And most importantly, you will still need God. Never try to. Don't even think of. And that's why people want money. That's why the love of money is the root of all evil. The reason why people want money is independence. The reason why the Holy Ghost is the one having me go in this direction. The reason why people hate the Bible and hate teaching and preaching like this is because they want to be independent. You see, if I can say that there is no God, then nobody can tell me what to do. Then adultery is no longer wrong. I do what I feel like doing. Fornication is no longer wrong. Homosexuality is no longer wrong. You know, everybody now becomes, watch this, a god to themselves. God forbid it will never happen. And that's what God is making sure is not going to take place through the church. Give the Lord another clap offering. You are not self-existent. You were created. And that creator has laws. He has statutes by which he expects things to be run, because he created everything for a purpose. And he created laws that govern those things. When you try and do it by yourself, you mess things up. Because you don't have the wisdom, neither do you have the power to sustain. Even if you got as in his sovereignty, giving you some degree of wisdom and some degree of resources, you can only run on that for so long. You cannot sustain it. You know why? You simply are not God. It's a simple thing. God said, I'm happy, son, you've made that clear to them. Because I'm not speaking only to you, I'm speaking to the whole world. A lot of people don't understand this. That is why this purpose is so important. It's just like God was jealous for Israel about Goliath. The same way today, God is jealous and he wants to show through the church a wisdom that is superior to the wisdom of Lucifer and his angels, and that was God who gave them, that they have now given to some of their own children. And on the earth today, it looks as if their children are smarter than God's children. That is going to change. The Holy Ghost just corrected me. That is changing. This message I'm preaching is part of the change. Because some of us have woken up. It's clear to us now what's going on. And we're not going to be fooled around anymore. Just get born again. Just be a nice person and just go to heaven. Christianity is more than that. It's growing to the fullness of Christ. And getting the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God. The article, Pastor Wale, the Daily Rhema, we wrote it a few days ago. I preached it some years ago. You know, with Solomon, Daniel, and Joseph. There are three things you need. The wisdom of Solomon. I would say the wisdom of Solomon. The purity of Joseph. And the consecration of Daniel. It was God who gave me that some years ago. Because you see, if you get the wisdom of Solomon and you do not have the purity of Joseph, you will go the way of Solomon. If you do not have the consecration of Daniel, you will go the way of Solomon. That is why the prerequisite for getting this type of wisdom we have been talking about is this character, the purity of Joseph, the consecration of Daniel. When God knows, yes, this one is on my side. And it doesn't matter how much wisdom I give him or how much power I give him, he is not going to take that wisdom and run with it, you know, to try to become independent of me, to live a life of vanity, which is what Lucifer did. And it's not going to happen again. I didn't hear amen. You can't say amen, say oh me. Now let's get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me end my Bible study in peace. What I've just told you is in the uppermost part of God's heart. It's to the intent. Too long, men have ridiculed God on the earth. Now people say, oh, don't mind those Christians. They don't know anything. They become Christians as a cop-out. You know, the other day I was talking with Dr. Adishino, you know, the president of the AFDB, my friend. He said, Christians used to glorify failure. You know, yeah, and we're not of this world. We don't know anything. It's a lie. We're the smartest guys on the planet. We just don't know it yet. 1 Corinthians chapter. How did I get off on all that? Thank you, Pastor G. It indeed was by the Spirit. Now let me just share a few things I wrote in my notes. Good. Preaching and teaching in demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that our faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, I just put a few examples, and I'm going to close shortly, you know, of my own personal experience. And I'm going to use it because it's contextual and it is relevant. And a lot of people on the earth today will be able to relate to what I'm saying. As a young man growing up in my teenage years, I didn't know, looking back now, I didn't know God formally. I used the word formally. But there was something in my heart that I believe God saw, and God was just merciful to me. When I look back now, I made certain decisions when I was very young. That looking back now, I said, only God could have given me that wisdom. I was in Form 3, Form 4, when I decided to do my O-levels in Form 4. I had all the people go and do, you know, WAEC. But this GCE London was available. And some, I heard some boys in school talking about it, you know, and there was one particular guy who was a year ahead of us. He did very well. I went to University of Ife. So people say, you can do the thing and go straight to university. So I just heard it, though. I didn't know, you know. I said, I should do that, you know. My mother didn't know. My parents didn't know. Nobody was urging me to do it. I went to buy the syllabus myself. I bought it. I still remember, you know, if you go to CMS bookshop near Cathedral Church of Christ, if you just pass it a little bit, you will see there's a building there for the Salvation Army. In that place, they used to sell books and things. This was back 1973. You know, I said, give me London syllabus. They gave me. It was part of the pocket money I had. My parents didn't know. I took it. When I opened the syllabus, I almost fainted. You know why? In our school, we hadn't covered anything. My eyes opened. I said, we're in trouble. How am I going to do this? Then God gave me wisdom. When I looked back, then it was God. He said, no, don't panic. So go and get this book. I got this one. But get this one. You know, divide it like this. Do this, study this one, you know, do this, go and get past question papers. Nobody taught me. In Life for Today, the same system we used to the glory of God. Let's give Lord a clap offering for Life for. That's why the children do so well. You know, they do test runs, you know, and they do drills. Nobody taught me. When I look back now, it was divine. But I don't want to get off on all of that. The point is this. I had an experience. So I, you know, went through all of that, came to UI, got a first class, went to Imperial College. So that was the background I was coming from. Intellectual. And having confidence in such things. Then I had an experience. It was a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost
in the privacy of my room. If that thing had happened in church, probably would not have had the impact it had on me. They prayed for me at night, in the night. That it was November 11, 1979. It was a Sunday evening. Pastor Porter said, all those who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, let them come. We'll pray for them. And I'd been hearing from Ken Hagin and all that. So I went out. They said, say hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. They said, shake. I shook. God have mercy on the church. All kinds of gymnastics, nothing happened. I went home dejected. Maybe I was not qualified, you know. But thank God for good teaching. I had heard from Kenneth Hagin and some other prophet preachers. Look, just believe you receive it and you will have it. So I cheered myself up as I went home. I said, Lord, I didn't speak in tongues. I'm not going to deceive myself. But at least, you know, I believe I receive it and I'm expecting you to do something. And that's exactly what happened. That evening, I got by my bedside. I knelt down by my bed and I started to do my normal night prayer just to thank God for the day. This thing began to bubble out of me. That's the best word I can describe it. It was like a bubbling. And he sounded like, he sounded so foolish. And the devil, you know, that time I was still a young Christian. I didn't know the devil very well. But, you know, he will use your mind to speak to you. He said, ah, Mama Toreo. Oh, bang, go on church. Why should to be bad? Oh, Magba, we're a messy. And you know, even though my Yoruba is not very good, he said it in Yoruba. True experience. I had a decision. Thank God for good teaching. It's important to listen to proper men of God. Ken Hagin and others have said, look, you will not understand what you're saying. For your son is unfruitful, just do it in faith. So I remember that to counter what the devil told me. I just let the thing bubble. As the more it bubbled, the more the thing came out. And you know, I didn't know what I was saying. I was like, I was drunk. No, it wasn't like I was drunk. I was drunk. Honest experience. You know, I've been drunk in the natural. So I knew. I was tipsy. I got up. I said, this is it, oh. This is this Holy Ghost they were talking about. So, we didn't have mobile phone in those days. My friend, who was also baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we came from UI and went to prayer college together, you know, I went out. I still remember, I had to struggle out of my room. I was in a postgraduate hall. There was a phone booth at the end of the corridor. In those days, we used to put this coin inside the, you know. So, I had some coins on me. So I was drunk. But I stabilized myself and managed. The thing was still. So I got to the phone, put the 10p inside, and called my friend. He said, I said, I got it. I said, I got the baptism. And I began to speak in tongues. Then I came back to my room and was praying in tongues. I didn't know what I was saying. My roommate was not a Christian. He was half Indian, half Jewish. I didn't know. He looked Indian to me. So he came back. He was a medical student, postgraduate. You know, he was a doctor. You know, he was postgraduate because it was a postgraduate hall. So he, you know, went to his bed and all of that, you know, and heard me. You know, I couldn't pray quietly. I didn't know. I was just kosher. It was the next day. We were going down to the cafeteria to go and eat. He asked me, he said, what were you doing last night? I said, I was praying. He said, do you know any Hebrew? I said, no. He said, Aramaic? No. He said, I'll tell you what you were saying. He then told me I was talking to Jesus, talking about angels, talking about blood, all kinds of funny things. He said, where did you learn all that from? Oh, I said, I was just praying. I was as shocked as he was. But I didn't show it. That your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Then I knew. I knew before because I've been born again and my character inside that. But it solidified something in me that this is a supernatural thing that I could not have contrived by myself. So I'm not dealing something here with man. I'm dealing with God. And you see, that's the thing we need to realize. I got to close. As Christians, this Christianity that we're involved in is not a philosophy. It's not a religion. It is the God who made heaven and earth, releasing his power inside and through men. When I had that experience, it made me much more consecrated. Talking about committed vanguard the other day. Made me much more committed because I now recognized that the person that I was dealing with was the God of the Bible. I knew it before, but I knew it better. It was solid inside me. Throughout that day, I think the next 4 or 5 days, I went around as if I had a cloak on me. A cloak. I could feel it. Though it was spiritual, I could actually feel it. It was like somebody was following me around and they had like a cover cloth or like a blanket around me. I recognized it was the anointing. When I'm in class, it was there. When I was in the cafeteria, it was there. I had a bike, not a motorbike, but an ordinary bike. You know, I used to ride from my hostel to the church school. When I'm on the bike, it was there. It followed me all around, you know. Then I will have this tingling sensation in my hands, as if you put a coal of fire there, and under my feet. Ah, I said, no wonder. I said, it's the Holy Ghost on fire. That your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So as Christians, I got to close. What Paul is telling us is this. Jesus, help me. Praying in tongues is the supernatural physical evidence of the invisible presence and power of God. Tongues is physical. You can hear it. But its source is supernatural. And when you do it and do it often, you begin to see the physical effects of it in your mind, in your revelation, in your understanding. I'll be talking about that later on today. Even in your character and in your conduct. It begins to crucify the flesh. The things, the desires that are wrong, it begins to kill. And it's not somebody who told you. You see it inside yourself. That was my experience. And we need to understand as Christians that that's why God is very, very particular about us. He says that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, you know, by demonstration of the Spirit. Ever say demonstration of the Spirit and of power? I didn't hear you. There is a demonstration of the Spirit and of power that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. After that, who will come and tell me that there is no God? Or who will come and tell me that the Bible is not true? Or who will come and tell me that the Holy Ghost is not for us today? But you see, if I didn't have that, they could tell me that and it could shake me. But with that experience, I became rooted and grounded. But I didn't stop there. I continued to pray. Then God began to show me other things, you know. Whenever people bring an intellectual argument to you, I'm going to close with this. Especially the so-called intellectual arguments of today, evolution, that things just evolved, you know, that they were originally inorganic materials. Then they came together by random chance. Foolish people. They came together by, and then there was a spark. And then the spark now caused, you know, organic life to start. And then that organic life, you know, it was first of all like an amoeba. Then after some time, you know, it became a frog or a tadpole. Then it left the water. Then it lost its tail. Then it started walking.
Then after some time, he now stood up and began to walk. And after some time, he became a man. How foolish. But I'm going to finish all of that in one word. Where did the original inorganic compounds come from? Where did the carbon come from? Where did nitrogen come from? Let's even assume your argument is correct. Where did the carbon come from? That's why God had some of us go to school. Otherwise, they would just be running rings around us. See, I can talk to anybody anywhere in the world. PhDs, you know, professors. I don't care where you are. You will answer this question. Where did the original organic compounds come from? Where did the carbon come from? Where did the oxygen come from? Where did the nitrogen come from? Let's even assume that you are right, that they now came together by random chance. It's foolish, but let's just give that to them just for 1 minute. But where did the original carbon come from? And what made the carbon carbon? Is it not the protons, the electrons, and the neutrons? Let's keep it at that simple level. That arrange themselves in a particular configuration to become carbon. Then the nitrogen arranges in another configuration. Now it became nitrogen. Then the oxygen arranges in another configuration. And then now it became oxygen. Then, according to you, they now randomly came together. Then there was a spark. Where did the spark come from? Of course, spark, shark. And only raw. It's a lie. It's a lie. The very fact that the fundamental particles, neutrons, protons, and electrons, are arranged in specific configurations to create the substances that we can see, is a fact that there must have been, and there is, a creator who created those things and gave them their configurations. So every argument against the existence of God is completely destroyed by the understanding I've just given you. And it doesn't matter which way you cut it, you will still come back to that. So there must be. What is configuration, Pastor? It's arrangement. Arrangement. I would say arrangement. Arrangement. Say it again. Then turn to your neighbor, an arrangement must have an arranger. Give him a clap up. Somebody put it there. And the thing that takes the icing on the cake is DNA. It is the incontrovertible evidence of the signature of a creator. That your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Our bodies are wonderfully and fearfully made. And lastly, the history of Israel. He says the God of Israel. How do we know? Go and check the history of Israel and find out if there is any other nation that has that kind of history. I asked you the other day, when Moses was a baby, it was the Egyptian Empire. When Jesus was a baby, it was the Roman Empire. Where is the Roman Empire? Ask your neighbor. Where is the Egyptian Empire? But where is Israel? I'm going to do what they do in court. The prosecution rests. Case closed. Stand to your feet. Case closed.
keys closed. Awesome God,
how great thou art.
You are God. God.
You are God. Mighty are your miracles.
We stand in awe.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we bow.
Yes, we bow.
And worship you. Awesome God. Hallelujah.
Awesome God.
Awesome God.
How great thou art.
How great thou art.
You are God.
You are God and so mighty are your miracles.
We stand. Oh, sing it, hallelujah. Your hand on your heart. Raise you're the one to God, the only true God, the only wise God. A simple prayer. Say, Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I confess my sins wherever I have allowed myself to foolishly be moved by the eloquence of men or the speech of men that there is no God or that the God of the Bible is not the true God. Ah, have mercy on me. I confess my sins. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I receive life and power in sufficient measure. Oh God, God, have mercy on me. Help me to fulfill your intention, your purpose in this third day, that we will show, we will demonstrate by the power of your Holy Spirit and your divine power to principalities and powers in the heavenly places, and all the men on earth, your manifold wisdom. And they will come according to your word. They will not bow to us. They will bow at our feet to you. And they will declare that surely God is in thee, in Jesus' name. Nekatofre klamatoloshka. Rikatofri nikrdolo. Lengradala shkefridis. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Ghost, thank you for your blood, for your life, your power, in our souls, in our bodies, in our
circumstances, liprikitoshka fresh, in our region, heavenlies, liprikito fresh, insufficient measure, rea tufrining gars. In Jesus' name. If you're standing here or you're watching at home, you need healing. That's why we need healing for our bodies, even for the mind. You know? So this mind can think properly. If you are in need of healing, either for your body or for your mind, just stretch your hands towards the screen. If you are home, if you're here, put your hand up. Or just touch your body. But I discovered that from the scriptures, God always requires a small act of faith. The woman with the issue of blood had to touch his garment. Blind Bartimaeus had to shout. The centurion had to say, "You don't need to come under my roof." They didn't know the Bible like we know today. You know, they just acted in faith, just little. That's all God needs. Father, for everyone who is raising their hand or touching their head, Lord God, we release healing power now. For you sent your word that healed them and delivered them from the destruction. We cast out spirits of infirmity, spirits of oppression, spirits of depression. We say, be thou made whole and be thou delivered. In Jesus' name, give a lot of super clap offerings. Hallelujah. Before I go and sit down, I have a word. Sit down. If you're watching wherever you are in the world, or you are here physically, hear me and hear me well. There was a reason why God took us through all that story. Young people, when I say young people, if you are 30 years old and under, even 40, even 50, doesn't matter. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Do not make a God out of your career. Or this, there is no God, you know. Or, well, yeah, there's God. A lot of our young people are like that today. They pay lip service to the things of the Spirit. And they say, no, but that's not really reality. Reality is what, you know, this is what I'm doing so I can make money and I can have a good career. You are making a big mistake. This is reality. I didn't say you should neglect your studies. I did not say you should neglect your career. That's what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all. But rather, I'm saying that make this the primary thing. In the words of Jesus, seek first the kingdom. And then all other things will be added to you. Having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your energy and your resources chasing after physical, material things that at the end of the day, you will not get fulfillment. You will seek the whole world, you will not get the whole world, and you will still lose your soul. It is better to seek God and get to know God, then you will gain your soul, and incidentally, you will gain the whole world. Because the Bible says, all things are yours, even the world. God bless you.
Oh Lord, we bow. Lord, we bow and worship.
Lord, we
bow and worship you. Lord, we bow and worship you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.